Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and of course, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Mitch is steering the ship today, and he's got a great show lined up for you, so you're not going to want to go anywhere. Right now, though, joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, is the one and only Kyle Melzon. You can find him at Kyle Melzon on social media, sports anchor reporter for WFRV-TV in Green Bay. Kyle, it is great to have you on. How are you doing, my friend?
Talk Packers football, and very happy that it's back, too.
Yeah, same here, and I really appreciate you taking the time. You've obviously had some opportunity to be out at practice and get some, you know, sort of impressions of what's been going on so far. So let me just start there. What have been your initial impressions of Packers practice and your key takeaways through the first 5 days?
Yeah, I'll say that, like, one takeaway that is that life after Jair Alexander is going to be okay. And we already knew this, but the defense has been flying around. They've been playing stellar. They've looked ahead of the offense, obviously. And then another thing is, another standout for me is Carrington Valentine. Like, obviously, without Jair Alexander, there's going to somebody's going to have to fill that void. And he did a great job his rookie season filling that void when Jair was hurt, and he was hurt most of, you know, Carrington Valentine's time with the Packers, but now it's a bigger role for Carrington to fill, along with Nate Hobbs as well. And this defense looks legit. They look ready to play. And now with the pads coming on, you're hoping that intensity, like we saw yesterday, is just going to only continue to heat up.
I'm so glad that you brought up Carrington Valentine, because he's had a phenomenal start to practice so far. He's had two interceptions. He's had two more that he's been this close to getting, including one yesterday in the two-minute drill where he jumped a pass from Sean Clifford and probably should have come up with the interception. That was one of those where he didn't, and then, of course, the offense goes down for the game-winning field goal. But still, his instincts are fantastic. And to your point, that corner room right now that was much maligned, much talked about, Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, Nate Hobbs have been for real. They've been fantastic, and there's nothing easy against those guys right now.
No, not at all. And I just wonder, like, what they're going to do when the season comes around, like, who they're going to put in the slot, too. I was talking, like, are they going to go Javon Bullard? There's a lot of different ways that they can roll with this kind of DB room, so to speak, and it's going to be fun to see it just kind of evolve. And they're going to need that intensity, too, because we saw last year that the offense at times got a little stale. This defense has to bring it big time.
Well, let's stay in that cornerback room. Yesterday, as mentioned, was the first padded practice, and of course, had the situation Nate Hobbs kind of going low on Marshawn Lloyd. Lloyd gets hurt. Regardless of that play, Nate Hobbs has brought a big time intensity to that secondary. He's been super communicative. He's got that veteran mentality, plays the game the right way. Like, he's been really exciting to watch, has been a big time value add thus far. Obviously, it's still very early on, but what have you seen from Nate Hobbs?
Yeah, exactly what you just said, like a dog, really, in Green Bay. He looks like a fun and intriguing player. Now, he's also had to get talking to a few times at practice where he's like, okay, you have to walk that fine line of being competitive but also feeling for your guys and making sure they stay upright. But I've been impressed everything that I've seen. I think he brings a mentality that the Packers need. I think he fits in well. I think it's a perfect fit. But, you know, we'll be the judge come week one and beyond that. So far early on, I'm really impressed on the way he's played. I just go back to that Dontavian Wicks play last week where Wicks goes on the ground, but the dude was sticking with them, probably the best route runner on the Packers, stuck with them, made a diving play, and a pass breakup. So that was fun to see. I'm impressed. I think he's going to be a dude on this Packers team, and he's going to fit right in. And we aren't going to be thinking about Jair Alexander much more after when the season starts.
Speaking of which, Gary Beatty in chat mentions that Jair's knee is hurt again. He had it drained yesterday. It sounds like he's going to be back today. And again, I don't think anyone's wishing him ill. We all want him to do well and see him be successful in Baltimore. But this is why Green Bay was trepidatious about having him stay on that contract, because just hasn't been able to stay healthy. And there's already some injury concerns going on in Baltimore over there. But yeah, and more importantly, Nate Hobbs has been legit. Again, no reps against Amon-Ra St. Brown or Justin Jefferson quite yet. We'll see what that looks like in season. But early returns wins have been fantastic from Nate Hobbs. We're talking to Kyle Melzon. Follow him on social media appropriately at Kyle Melzon. You can see him, of course, WFRV TV in Green Bay, sports anchor and reporter. The other big news yesterday, Kyle, is that Elgton Jenkins is back practicing, did individual work and some walkthrough teamwork as well. I'm sure that'll ramp up here over the course of the next couple weeks. But what does the return of Elgton Jenkins mean for this team, and how does it solidify the offensive line?
Oh, it's big time. I mean, anytime you have a guy like Elgton Jenkins come back to the line, it's going to solidify a lot. His press conference was interesting when he talked to us in the media, saying that like when he sat out, it wasn't because for contract reasons. It was all family business. So you got to take it for what it's worth and at face value. So now he's back in the mix. He knows the fact that centers don't get paid as much as, you know, a guard or tackle. He's aware of that. And he's a team player. Like, I'm pretty sure he said that he approached Gutekunst first and Matt LaFleur wanting to change that center once, you know, they knew that Josh Myers wasn't coming back. You get the guy under center, and he's played a lot of football in this league. He's played all across the line. He's just going to fit in real nicely, and hopefully he's, you know, back to Elgton Jenkins. I know he suffered an injury after the in that playoff game, but hopefully he's back to Elgton Jenkins week one. And, you know, this offensive line can start rolling now, and Jordan Love can get that chemistry between Elgton.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think this is going to be a great move for the offensive line. I think it's going to be a huge move for Elgton as well. I do believe, yeah, I'm right there with Green Bay. I think he can be a Pro Bowl or maybe even All-Pro center. I think he's that good. I think he's got the ability to make all those calls and adjustments at the line of scrimmage. And I think sometimes when you get somebody like Elgton, who I don't want to say is, you know, maybe gotten stale or stagnated or anything like that, but anything you can do to give him a bit more responsibility, put a little bit more on his plate, maybe at this stage of his career, just kind of change that mindset a little bit, I think that can be really good. I think the more autonomy that you give him, the more that he's going to go out there and play even better. So I'm really excited to see what this year looks like for Elgton Jenkins. And of course, him getting back at practice only helps that. Again, we're being joined by Kyle Melzon, sports anchor reporter for WFRV TV in Green Bay. All right, I've got a bone to pick with you, Kyle Melzon. Not exactly, right, but I have a I think a fun one that I'm curious your detailed explanation of. I saw you tweet out that you do not like Jaden Reed and Matthew Golden out there returning punts. So I'm all in on the, hey, let your good players be out there on special teams. But I want to hear your interpretation and just idea of why you don't want some of these players back there returning punts.
So I had some like replies to that tweet that like, yes, I understand it's practice. And yes, I know that they're going to give these guys reps. The point being is putting like a Jaden Reed back there. Every time he did that last year, you know, I just cringe, because all it takes is one little pop and one stinger, and you have Jaden Reed out on the sidelines for the rest of the season. By the way, you lost, now entering this year, you lost Christian Watson. You're without this speed factor. You throw Matthew Golden or Jaden Reed out there, you put him in a vulnerable spot, and I don't think the risk is worth the reward, in a sense of you're throwing one of your best players out there to possibly get popped on a punt. But here's the thing. You got Mecole Hardman. So when you got Mecole Hardman, his way to crack the 53 could possibly be his return game skills and his special team, what he brings to special teams, and whatever he adds at wide receiver is an added bonus. I just think that Mecole Hardman, you signed him. He has returned before. He's a good returner. Throw him back there, see what happens, and roll with it. Now, Keyshawn Nixon, like, obviously kick return is a whole different thing now with the new rule changes and whatnot. And we know he's cornerback one at this point, so there's a little risk there, but I just don't think the risk is worth the reward when you put a Matthew Golden, your first-round draft pick, in the mix in a very vulnerable spot with and along with Jaden Reed.
So let me ask you this. What if they had Tyreek Hill? What if they had DeSean Jackson in his prime? What if they had one of these players that were a phenomenal player, but they were also one of the more, Deion Sanders in his prime? Would you be more open to it because it's a game-breaking player that can take it to the house at any given moment? Or are you still on the same page of, yep, don't want him out there?
No, I mean, like, Jennifer could take it to the house. There's no doubt about it. And I know that they did it with Randall Cobb, right, back in the day. So, like, I'm not blind to it. I don't know if I have, like, I don't know if my explanation is the most popular one. I just don't like seeing Matthew Golden and Jaden Reed out there for the simple fact that, and I know it's football, free like injuries always happen. I just don't think that's the best way to use those players. But I'm also not the coach, so.
No, totally fair. Your audio cutting in and out just a little bit, Kyle, just as a heads up. I don't know if it's a little bit better. Just try to work on it right now. Here's what I'll say while Kyle works on that. I agree, actually, with what most of you are saying, Kyle, and the fact that, first and foremost, I don't like Jaden Reed back there, just in general. It's one thing if he was, like, this dynamic punt returner or whatever. Like, he hasn't been. He's been meh, average, fine, or whatever. The reward of him as a punt returner is nowhere near the risk of losing him as a wide receiver. So you and I are 1,000,000% in lockstep in that particular situation. I will also add that I very much also want to see McCole Hardman be the primary punt returner. So we are definitely on the same page when it comes to who should be the punt returner. And then who I don't want to see out there with is, which is again, Jaden Reed. As far as Matthew Golden is concerned, if to me, Matthew Golden is a phenomenal punt returner, and I think you want to try that out in camp, just kind of see what he looks like. Also worth noting that you need a depth chart at punt returner as well. Even if you plan on going into the season with McCole Hardman as your primary punt returner, you have to know who your number two, your number three, your number four guy is, because you will have injuries pop up through the course of the season. So whether that's Jaden Reed, Keyshawn Nixon, Matthew Golden, whomever that might be, you have to make sure that they can secure the punt, that they are practicing it as well. So I do think it's important from time to time to get those guys reps. But if Golden's dynamic at it, I have less concern if he is out there. But to me, the reward has to be worth the risk, and the fact that he needs to be a unbelievable dynamic returner in order to risk putting him out there. So I'm a little bit less, like we've seen Antonio Freeman or some of these really talented wide receivers early on in their career go out and have these opportunities. I'm willing to see what he can do, but we're on the same page in the fact that I do think McCole Hardman should be the punt returner, and this should be his job moving forward. We got you back, Kyle.
Yeah, so you got me.
It's still cutting out a little bit. I don't know if you want to try talking one more time to see if it's any better.
Yeah, your audio is a little staticky, but we must have a little connection issue right now.
Yeah, so sorry about that, Kyle. It definitely seems to be a little bit of an audio. It's probably on our end, so my apologies for that. I appreciate everything, Kyle. Make sure to go and follow him out at Kyle Melzon on social media. We'll get you in again soon here, Kyle. Again, sports anchor and reporter for WFRV-TV in Green Bay. He does an absolutely phenomenal job over there for them. If you're in the Green Bay area, you can check Kyle out and just WFRV Sports. They do fantastic work over there. We appreciate him for joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Tommy, I want to get your opinion on this, because I do think it's an interesting conversation at returner. And let me just add on top of this, because I think we can almost take this in a slightly different direction as well. Yesterday at practice on kick coverage drills, by the way, Edgerrin Cooper, Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, LVN, this is not your let's find some, you know, Atari Big B's and let's find some Chris Banjos and whomever else, Dickie Simpkins. That's a real big pull. Put those players out there and just get whoever you want on special teams. This is a legitimate, hey, if you can go down and cover kicks, if you can return punts, if you can jam people at the line, whatever it needs to be done, you're out there regardless of your status on the team. And I actually think like guys like Xavier McKinney going out and doing that really sets the standard. If Xavier's out there, if your best player's out there, all right, nobody else can really kind of complain about it because your leader on the back end is back there covering kicks. So your thoughts just in general of teams, do you want your guys out there? Would you prefer McKinney, Cooper not out there on kick coverage? Do you not want Matthew Golden out there as a punt returner? How you feel about it?
Yeah, I would absolutely totally avoid the starting defense out on special teams, or WeFence, I think, as they call it too now. But no, I don't want Edgerrin Cooper out there. I do understand the idea of trying to get, again, at the 11 most athletic and fastest guys out there on special teams, especially on a kick coverage, but I loved that addition of McCole Hardman this offseason, because it's just a guy that maybe he can come in for a package or two on offense and try to take the top off of defense, but most importantly, he's a guy with elite speed that can get back there, has experience catching the ball in a return game, and doesn't have to worry about, you know, hurting Matthew Golden or other people trying to return kicks. Jaden Reed, Keyshawn Nixon, if these guys want to be elevated, if Keyshawn Nixon wants to be taken seriously as a cornerback one, then he shouldn't have to really worry about returning kicks. I understand he might be the best man for the job, but I don't think that there's a major setback if it's a guy like Mecole Hardman, who's near the back end of the special, the wide receiver room, but he can be a leader on the special team side, right? He's the oldest wide receiver in that room. He is the veteran, the guy who's been in the league, and he gets that chance to have those opportunities to lead a special teams unit. I don't think that you need to have Jaden Reed worrying about returning punts, because I want him to be a focal point of the Packers offense, and he obviously increases his injury chance if he's on a situation like special teams, punt return. It's where all the injury, most, not a lot of the injuries are happening on those sides of the ball, right? Special teams is maybe the most dangerous part of the game, if you will, and I just don't think that it's important to have the starters on those for an extent. You know, if the linemen are blocking on field goal block and stuff like that I understand, but I have no interest in seeing Edgerrin Cooper flying down to try to make a hard hit on a guy when I need him to do that when their offense has the ball.
Look who's soft now.
Mm-hmm.
Starters can't play on special teams because it's too physical of a game for them.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this is the game now where, you know what, we're treating every play like it's just as important. You know, obviously we saw last year, playoff game, kick return, Keyshawn, now your guy is out there, Keyshawn Nixon's out there, fumble on the first play, rest of the game is a disaster. Brandon Bostic's out there on the kick return team. Guess what? Would you rather have had, you know, maybe a better player that's out there? But, you know, at a certain point, you know, in the 49ers game, the divisional round, blocked punt, they lose that game because of special teams. I'm to the point where get the guys out there, and maybe you have to like pick your spots and things like that, but I'm done losing games because you can't put out a good unit out there on special teams. I don't need to see just the you know, bottom 13 players on the roster making up your special teams unit and trying to see what, you know, Rich Bisaccia can cook up with those ingredients. I'm totally good and I'm totally fine with making it so that your players that are out there that can make plays are out there making plays. I will just say, again, there has to be the reward for it, though. So what I mean by that is, Jaden Reed is not a good punt returner. Why am I risking Jaden Reed, the really good wide receiver, as a punt returner when he's not doing anything special at punt return? Right. That makes 0% sense whatsoever.
Yes.
Edgerrin Cooper, you will see as a gunner or as a kick coverage guy flying downfield and making spectacular tackles. All right, I can see the reward for that potentially. So I think you just have to play it one decision at a time. I do think you have to be careful. You don't want Edgerrin Cooper, Xavier McKinney going down with injuries, period. And the more that you're putting them out there and certainly in some dangerous situations, you have to be careful with it. But I think, you know, you almost have to be to the point where you got to let these guys play football and you got to get your guys out there, because at any given moment, it could easily be the special teams play, as we have seen in Green Bay on numerous occasions, even on the punt return side with Desmond Howard. If you want to look for a good side, Desmond Howard, obviously he was a specialized returner like a Mecole Hardman might be, but special teams can swing the game at any given moment. And I'm done with the players that are at the bottom of the roster swinging those moments rather than the guys that should be out there and being able to make those plays.
I'll at least say
I understand it. I'm not necessarily advocating to be like, I have to have Edgerrin Cooper out there on kick coverage, but I'm not going to blast anyone for him being out there. I can at least understand why they're doing it.
I think after the last 4 days, Nate Hobbs' punishment should be he's on special teams.
It's funny. When he got taken out of practice yesterday, I did think that when he got back in, I thought it was going to be with like the threes. Like I legitimately thought he was going to be out there with like Isaiah Dunn and Tyron Herring at corner and be like, I thought that was going to be the message of like, oh, you're going to be reckless. All right. You're not going to be going out there with the ones. You're going to be out there with the threes, but they put him right back there with the ones and he had a great practice the rest of the time. All right, Tommy, I'm going to let you take over for the rest of the show. Obviously, as we get back from segment three, before I get out of here, what do you got coming up for the rest of the show?
Yeah, we're going to just go over a lot of Matt LaFleur's presser yesterday, talk a little bit about that. I want to dive into the conversation that we kind of started yesterday about the defense really showing out early in training camp versus the offense maybe having a little bit of struggles along the way. I think that maybe people weigh way too much into training camp on day five already. We're going to have that conversation.
Never.
And we'll take you all the way up for the next 10 minutes or so until the Mason Crosby show at 9 o'clock.
Awesome. Looking forward to that as well. Appreciate you a ton. What do you want me to ask Goody?
Ooh. I would like you to ask Brian Gutekunst if what he had for breakfast this morning. All right, that's what I would like to know.
You and Mitch are terrible. I mean, we're very lucky that you guys are sending me over to ask Goody questions. They're not. We're getting you and Mitch tag teaming things. You know,
ask him about
questions.
Taylor Algersma. Give me a Taylor Algersma question. Come on.
I asked Paul the other day. I said what we should do. I said it with Matt though. Is just like let's go back and forth and ask as many Taylor Algersma questions before he gets like wondering what the hell is going. On. Just one Algersma question after the other. No, I appreciate you a ton. Tommy's going to take it the rest of the way. Of course, Mason Crosby show coming up at 9 a.m. With Mitch Thunder Nellis. Huge thank you to Kyle Malzahn. My apologies for the audio issues on that side of things. We'll get him on sometime in the near future and talk some ball with him. But go check him out again at Kyle Malzahn and at WFRV TV in Green Bay. I will see you guys tomorrow. Tommy takes over from here and we'll be right back right after this.